Welcome to the Super Speedway.
Welcome to episode 272 of the Super Speedway podcast, recorded Tuesday, March 28th, 2023. I'm your host, Eric Young, and I am joined, as always, by my co-host, James Cush. James, how's it going tonight?
Oh, it's just great, my man. Just fantastic. We have had, so, you know, every once in a while we touch on the what's going on in our personal lives.
Right.
So here's been mine. Last week, one kid, double ear infection. So that was just, as you know, Eric, that's a lot of crying and fussiness and late nights. Get that cleared up. Everybody's happy for one day. One day. And then Sunday night comes. I'm enjoying the race. Oldest kid's getting a little fussy and whiny. Like, what's going on? Strep throat.
Oh.
We come to find out. So we go back-to-back double ear infection, strep throat. I am one hit away from a triple crown here at our house. So I am hunkering down.
Yeah.
I don't want any more illnesses to Eric, it'd be great if the kids could get sick simultaneously and it lasts like 1 or 2 days. But no, it has to be 14 full days.
Right.
Of nonsense. So that's how I'm doing. How are you?
Well, I'm going to knock on wood and say that everybody's pretty healthy here.
That's good.
You know, I had the COVID thing a couple weeks ago and I made it through that and nobody else caught it. So that was kind of amazing.
Yep.
I don't know how that happened. Not a freaking clue how it happened, but somehow we managed to work it out and I had to suffer for a week and everybody else just kept clicking. So
that's fantastic.
Yeah. I'm glad though, cause I didn't want to have to deal with everybody else with it too. You know?
I don't
do good taking. See, I don't require a lot of care. I just require to be left alone.
Yes.
And other people in my household require care and I'm not the caring type because I grew up you're sick, you go to the other room and you get away from everybody. So
I've been dealing with that. Plus it's spring break. So
yeah, yes.
That's going on. Schedules are wacky. Daycare stuff's all over the place. I am not in the zone for that matter, but
yeah,
you know, here we are.
Yeah. I get to do the spring break thing next week and we have not yet discussed who's staying home with the kids. So, probably should have that discussion pretty soon.
Yes.
So, but yes. Meanwhile, James, we went road racing this week in NASCAR. And
something like that, yeah.
Yeah, we ran our very first 3 races in 6 years without staged cautions. And you know what? Did you miss them? I didn't miss them.
Not one bit.
No. I mean,
not one bit. I don't know how long you want to talk about it, but not one bit for me.
Well,
I could care less if we have stage breaks ever again.
You know, and it's funny because I have been adamant that the stages are very important and that we need to keep them except on the road courses. And I almost after this week want to go, you know, let's try a mile and a half race without them. Let's see what happens.
Eric, you need to take a victory lap because you were very early on the road courses don't need stages. Like you saw the first season of stages and you called for it immediately. And I think that maybe we have, I don't know if NASCAR will ever do away with the stage cautions. I really don't know, but
yeah, I don't
boy,
think so.
If the rest of these road courses run that way, the way that it played out on Sunday with how the stages broke down and they cut to commercial right away. It seems like it was a fair deal. And it seemed to work out fine. So hopefully NASCAR sees that. And
the thing is we did have cautions around the stages and most of the races. But it didn't, those cautions didn't get extended because of the stage breaks. And they also didn't provide the strategy attempt because you didn't know that they were going to be there. Which I think that's the biggest thing with these races, especially, but you know, I've told you before we started the podcast, I've listened to pretty much every podcast that's been posted to this point this week, NASCAR, all the majors. And I don't remember which one they were talking about it, but, you know, when was the last time we saw a real true fuel mileage race anywhere? We really haven't in a long time because I think of these stages and you know, that it's, you're not planning a, you know, you're not planning for a 400-mile race anymore. You're not planning for a 500-mile race. You're planning for that last 120 miles.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot easier to plan for than it is, you know, the big length of the race. So, I don't know. I mean, I still I'm not going to stand on this rooftop and scream, let's get rid of stage breaks everywhere. But if NASCAR decided tomorrow to get rid of them, I'd be all right with it. I wouldn't complain.
Yeah. I thought, I just thought it was nice to have a real race.
Yeah.
We'll get to it. Up until the end of the race, we had a real race for the most part all day. There was teams that had some strategy, and our eventual race winner, Tyler Reddick, I thought that team made a mistake.
Yeah.
Turns out, no.
It's wrong. Only a mistake if you're not the fastest car on the track by like twice.
Yeah, completely dominant. Didn't really have to worry about the fuel mileage come to find out towards the end, but. There was no touching Reddick. The right team won the race overall. And
yeah.
And, but yeah, it was interesting that, you know, I thought it was funny that Tyler Reddick threw away the stage one points like he always does. I was like, crap. I had him on some fantasy stuff and, but that's okay. He did what he was supposed to do at the end of the day. So,
right. Yeah. So I was trying to figure out where to mention this. And I guess this is probably as good a place as any to watch, to mention this. One of the things about this race, so Circuit of the Americas, you know, we've talked about this track a few times, and I had my doubts with the size of this track and what to expect, without having planned cautions. And I will say the one thing that this track, despite the fact that it's long as hell, is, and I think Kurt Busch is the one who mentioned it, or somebody mentioned it on the broadcast on Sunday, that the best part about this track is the fact that every good passing opportunity is followed up by another, putting that person in the preferred lane and the non-preferred lane. Mm-hmm. So like no pass is like just clean. You don't just get by somebody. You're still going to have to battle them in the next turn. So that's great.
Right.
That being said, there's something to me, James, about NASCAR running on a Formula One track. And you know, we had track limits in the S's, but everywhere else we didn't. There's just something about us driving over the paint and driving through the grass and kicking dirt up on the track that I'm trying to think of an analogy that it makes. It kind of feels like to me like if you were to go to a church and throw a party. Like, doesn't it kind of feel like you're peeing on the prestige of Formula One a little bit by running?
Well, that's what we're doing at Indianapolis right now.
Right.
That's a rave. So, but yes, I agree 100%. And I don't like, well, I mean, we can probably get into it now.
Yeah.
One of the things I hated about this race, obviously, was the end.
Yeah.
And we can talk about it a little bit.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
But one of the things I hated was, you touched on it, the length of cautions. Oh, and this has been a problem. God. This has been a problem since we went to COTA, as we go full length cautions. And boy, is that bad. It took, I saw online today, it took us over an hour to run the last 11 laps of the race because of how long those cautions were.
See, it didn't take me that long because I watched delayed. So well, I just skipped it all.
Yeah, that's the benefit of doing that. But man, when you're watching in real time, boy, it was brutal.
Yeah, I can imagine. It was brutal. I can imagine. So, okay, let's get into it then, James. I think every podcast has said a lack of respect at the end.
Yes.
There's been a lot of solutions I've seen thrown out there as to how to fix this. Some people blame the drivers. Some people blame the track. I've seen everything from having the restart zone closer to the first turn, having the restart zone further from the first turn, finding a way to narrow up the first turn, restarting single file, no green white checkers. You told me before we recorded this podcast, you're going to fix NASCAR tonight. So what is your solution to this? Or, I mean, obviously I'm guessing you need to say there needs to be a solution because you don't like the length of how it turned out. So what is your solution to fix this issue?
Well, my solution is, I feel like I'm giving an essay for a grade.
Right.
No, honestly, I have seen enough of green white checker in my life.
Really?
Especially,
this is where I figured you were going to go here, and this is where we're going to disagree.
Yeah, and that's good. I'm glad we're going to disagree on it. But I think if NASCAR racing is what this is, and the NASCAR officials are not going to police these drivers anymore, then that's it. You don't get 17 chances to climb through the field like Ross Chastain and bulldoze your way through. You get your green white checkered, taken away, and then we just run the full distance of the race, and we're just done with this. We're just done with this show, because I think, and Dave Moody, Mike Davis, there's a couple of guys out there that think this is just NASCAR racing. That's not the end of that race was not racing, and it was just absolutely terrible. Because what we did was we threw away a really good day for just an hour of Demolition Derby. And if that's the way that these drivers are going to drive, then we need to take that opportunity away from them. And you don't get to caution your way through the field, because this is not just a road course problem. This has been a problem basically everywhere. And I just think I've seen enough. Get rid of overtime. Or I did see what Dale Jr. said. I will be flexible here. You get one shot at it, and then we're done. We can't have unlimited green white checkers anymore. This is Eric. We went dang near close to 4 hours on Sunday.
Yeah.
And there is no sporting event in the world that needs to go that long ever. That's too much time commitment for anybody. I'd say it's a big ask of the fans, and it's the drivers. I know there's driver etiquette out there, but it's completely lacking with our drivers at this point. I don't know if it's because the cars aren't falling apart or they're too stiff or whatever, but something's got to change. And if this is the system we're going to be in with these cars and these types of drivers, and they're not policing it, then do away with it, in my opinion.
James, do you remember why we have green white checkers, right?
Of course.
The reason we have green white checkers, in my opinion, the reason we have green white checkers is because fans wanted drivers to race back to the checkered flag. Mm-hmm. But the real reason we have green white checkers is the same reason we have a lucky dog rule. And that's because we stopped racing back to the finish line.
That's right.
So my issue that I have is that I have no issue. I didn't, it sucked when races ended under caution before, but at least you got the finish. Yes. It just might have been three laps before the actual end of the race. When Dale Earnhardt won the Daytona 500, he won it under caution, but he won the race under green flag.
Yes.
That's what I want to see. The problem is we can't race back to the caution. We just can't. Yep. There is possibly a solution at a road course like this, because everything was happening down in turn one, and you could argue there's a way on a 3 mile track, 3+ mile track, to say, okay, there's debris in turn one, guys. We're going to race back to the finish line. This is it. And then the race is done. And that solves the problem. And maybe that's a solution to look for. That's not going to help us on the mile and a half tracks. It's not going to help us on the super speedways. Super speedways really is where we see the other place we see this big issue, other than really two road courses we see this issue at. We see this at Indy and we see this at COTA. And we funnel down from, six wide into a corner that can barely fit two wide.
Yep.
So, there's that.
And Eric, you see, we all see it, but you watch some of those last restarts. Ross Chastain, I know he's my whipping boy. But those last restarts, just watch his car if you haven't seen the highlights. Yeah. He doesn't even give Alex Bowman an opportunity to race.
Well, here's the deal. I'm going to give you my shout out early. Because you said you haven't been listening. You didn't listen on the podcast this week. I listened to Action Detrimental this week with Denny Hamlin. Yep. And Denny did a great job of, during his podcast, he broke down the last four restarts or whatever. And he said, listen, nobody's going to call these guys out. TV doesn't have time to call them out. I sat here and watched multiple replays of each of the last restarts. And here are the guys that are guilty.
I saw that.
These are the guys that are responsible for the mess that happened. And he called them out. And he said, listen, sometimes it might be me. It wasn't me this time. But here's the guys that did it. And yes, Chastain was at the top of his list. Kevin Harvick was on his list.
Kevin Harvick is a bulldog on restarts. Yeah, he's not blameless.
So nope. I give Denny a lot of credit for doing that, especially Denny, who's, already got NASCAR mad at him for his podcast. Now he's going to piss off a bunch of drivers, too. Good on Denny. Of course, one of them is Chastain, and he doesn't care.
A lot of guys aren't happy with Ross right now.
Here's the thing though, James, is we talk about respect. We talk about people running into each other and all of that. It would take me less than 5 minutes right now to go on YouTube and find you a clip of somebody doing it won't be the same because it's not all these cars piling in the corner, but somebody racing with this type of respect, a high level driver, a Dale Earnhardt, a Darrell Waltrip, a Jeff Bodine at Riverside in the 1980s. This is nothing new, especially on road courses in NASCAR. There's two big differences. And you know what I'm going to do? I didn't officially pull this clip. It's right off of YouTube. So I'm going to play it real quick. This is from frontstretch.com. This is Ryan Preece responding after getting wrecked out. So here's sorry if the audio is screwy because I haven't even previewed this or anything yet. But here's what Ryan Preece had to say, and we'll discuss because I think this is part of the solution. Maybe. Is it coming? Hold on. This is what happens.
Buffering?
This is what happens
when you're doing live.
Oh, I muted. That's Mark why. It. All right, here we go.
Here with Ryan Preece. Fortunate into your day. You were running top 10 before all the overtime caution started and just ended up getting damaged. Can you explain what happened?
Yeah, I got wrecked by a bunch of hacks.
Yeah, I saw on your I saw that on your Twitter.
Now, what you want to know what this is? This comes down to a lack of respect. And this is, I get so frustrated because growing up, a lot of these guys, they just pay their way and they don't respect cars. And what happens going into turn one, they just run into everyone and they ruin days. So someone needs an ass kicking, that's for sure.
This is Daniel Hamper.
There you go. That is your solution right there, James. Somebody needs to step up and either all these drivers need to shut up and quit belly aching about it, or they need to take it into their hands and take care of it. And I'm not talking about chasing somebody down on the final on the parade lap after the race and running into them on pit road around pit officials from the protection
using
of your race car.
Because you're chicken.
Yes, Daniel Suarez. I'm talking about you get out of the car afterwards and you grab them by the collar and you say, listen, you don't do this crap. That's the stuff that's going to stop this. That and the other thing is we built these cars to be freaking tanks. We're so excited they can bounce off the wall and you don't get a fender rub. Well, guess what happens? You can run into each other too and you don't get a fender rub. There is no penalty, no consequence whatsoever. I do not want to see NASCAR step in and start penalizing drivers. I don't want to be Formula One.
I don't want to do that either.
But these drivers need to take it into their hands and solve this problem. Otherwise, they all need to shut up and just race.
Yeah, and you know, you know, you mentioned Denny Hamlin and with his podcast, and that's great. And Denny can be, because of his personality, he can be the easy villain, and we can all celebrate.
By the way, Denny's not swinging at anybody either.
No, he's not. No, nobody is. Right. The only one close would be Harvick, and he didn't even do it last time he had an issue.
Dale Jr. told, I know you're a big fan of Mike Davis right now, but Dale Jr. told Mike Davis to add Ryan Preece to his list because Davis is keeping track of those guys that say they're going to do something and they don't. So now Preece is on notice. It's time, Ryan.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, I love that. There's no, you know, we've talked about this before, Eric. There's no elder statesman really anymore. And Harvick, you know, Kevin Harvick could be, Kyle Busch could be. But these guys, like, even Kyle Busch, right? He has an interview that goes a little bit viral on Twitter.
Right.
And he uses the microphone I loved it. He uses he uses the microphone to insult Ross Chastain.
Yeah.
What he should have done, to your point, is go over there and grab him around the collar.
Yep.
And give it to him. But
Dale Earnhardt had a move that if you listen to any podcast about with people talking that used to talk with Dale Earnhardt, used to race with Dale Earnhardt, Dale Earnhardt had that move. That you and I have all had an uncle or a relative do this to us, somebody we know older than
give
us.
A tight squeeze.
Yep. Grab right around the back of your neck. Looks real friendly, but that little squeeze, it's like you need to pay attention. This is serious. Mm-hmm. Yep. And that's what some of these guys need. You mentioned Kevin Harvick, James, and an elder statesman. Let me remind you, the reason we have unlimited green white checkers. By the way, we only had three this weekend, so it wouldn't have changed anything. But the reason we have an unlimited green white checkers is because of Kevin Harvick.
Yes, right.
Because that's the problem with Dale Jr.'s plan is of only having one is now you can manipulate it. And you think it was bad when they didn't know if it was the last restart? Can you imagine if they know it's the last one?
Well, and that's the thing. Like, if you know what the race distance is, you ain't got to worry about it.
Right. I just don't think you can get rid of the green-white checker and not race. It's too frustrating to sit there for 3-4 hours. I know it's frustrating to sit there for an hour watching restart after restart, but it's so frustrating to sit there for 3 or 4 hours and not have a finish. It's like a hockey game ending in a tie.
the problem I encounter with these, when it gets like this, and this has happened multiple times now, Eric, this is not a one-time thing.
Right.
And I want to, before I say that, I want to say this. I have no problem with drivers being aggressive, making contact.
Right.
It's what we saw that demolition derby at the end of the day. That's the problem. But I think, man, this is so tough. I don't know.
I mean, it really happens once or twice a year. Is it that big of a deal? I mean, I know it looks bad, and I know it's don't get me wrong. I'm not sitting here saying I loved what I saw, because I didn't. And listen, Tyler Reddick won this race, and if he'd have been taken out, I'd be sitting here screaming that that's ridiculous, that the best guy got taken out because of a bunch of stupidity at the end of the race.
Yep.
But I think it's a problem this week, and we're all going to forget about it next week. And
I don't, yeah, but the problem I continuously run into when this happens is I just want to turn it off and leave the
room. Yeah, that's true.
I don't want to finish it anymore because I'm just done. I'm like, oh my God, another one.
Yeah.
Oh my God, another one. Like, can't we just get this done? And at COTA, it's magnified because you got, 10 minutes per caution lap, it seems right. Like, because it's so freaking long.
Well, I mean, again, we have a special rule for road courses now with the stages. Maybe, like I said, we need to have NASCAR be able to come over the radio and say, listen, you're racing back to the line.
And you can't know? We, I, you know, it takes, you know, it takes a long time to run a lap at COTA. Are we not able to avoid the full course cautions by, you know, I don't know, running out there and picking up that debris real quick while the cars are going around? I mean,
I remember specifically back
big racetrack
at Michigan once, way back in like the 80s or 90s, where there was debris on the track and there was a big gap and somebody ran out onto the track during green flag to get debris.
That's a little bit. Yeah, that's pretty rough.
That's pretty hairy. I'm with you, but I mean, NASCAR has demonstrated in the not too distant past that they aren't real good at making sure the track is clear.
That's right.
To be raced upon, or that all curbs are put together, or things like that. So maybe having people run out on a track that's active. I've heard a lot of people talk about having local yellows. That's great, except that most series now that have local yellows, the local yellow is there for a car that's spun out and can still leave that spot.
That's right, yeah.
It's not for a disabled vehicle and safety vehicles going out there. Formula One used to have that, and Formula One created the safety car because somebody was killed running into the back of a safety vehicle.
Yeah, that was...
So, most rough. Of the series don't put safety vehicles out there when cars are actually running.
Yeah, it's too hard.
Yeah, you're asking for trouble.
It's a big ask.
There.
Oh, I understand. And I totally understand. So
you can't do that, but... you mentioned Ross Chastain being a source of a lot of this issue. I would love to see NASCAR penalize him this week, because one of the cautions, according to DBC, he sat there and waited until the caution came out, and then a safety vehicle started to roll up, and then he fired up and took off.
Yep.
So start penalizing for that type of stuff.
He's got the worst driver etiquette of anybody.
Oh, he does.
Right now.
He does.
It's,
but
not even close.
You know why I don't? I know you lost respect for him as a result. I still respect him, because Ross Chastain will look at you in the eye and say, I know.
Yeah, so what, right?
Right.
Yeah.
It's different from the other guys who will sit there and say, no, I'm not like that. Joey Logano, they don't deny it. They accept it.
I just wish he was coming from the right place, not the wrong place. Because I think that's where he...
Yeah, I agree.
I think that's where he gets my ire is... when he's doing stuff like that, and he just is like, yeah, well, that's me. What do you want me to do? It's just racing.
If we didn't have Ross Chastain out there, what would we talk about every week on this podcast?
Well, that's probably true.
We got to have guys like him.
That's probably true. I can't fight you on that one, but I definitely attempted to fix NASCAR today. I don't know if I succeeded.
So we basically came to a draw. We have no solution.
So yeah,
we're just gonna keep doing what we've been doing.
I couldn't persuade you your way, and you're not gonna persuade me to your side either. So
twice a year we're gonna. I said I think last week or a couple of weeks ago that I'm all right with limiting the green white checker finishes again. That we don't need unlimited. Unlimited seemed like a great idea until we started going past three.
Yeah.
But my problem is that somebody is going to manipulate it like Harvick did in a situation. And you can't put the ball then in NASCAR's court to where they can make a decision that, oh, in this case, we're going to have two. I just don't know. I don't know. Let me put it this way, James. I will say, and I think Junior said this on his podcast too. I don't personally think this is it's NASCAR's problem because it's NASCAR's series, but I don't think NASCAR is doing anything wrong here.
Yeah.
I don't think they're doing anything wrong, though. The responsibility for this falls on the drivers. But unfortunately NASCAR is going to be the one that has to fix it or live with not fixing it. But you know, I mean, let's not go back to COTA. Maybe that solves the issue a little bit.
I would not be opposed to that. I didn't want to bring that up because I thought,
I will say that all three races this weekend were much better races than I expected them to be.
Yeah, it's a decent place to race. Yeah. I wish we had less. I wish we would go back to more ovals again. But yeah,
I mean, if I was going to take a road course away, I'd take Indy away first. I love the Roval, but I'd probably take the Roval away before I'd take COTA away. Maybe.
Yep. Yeah. Oof. I mean, the Roval's pretty. I don't know. Listen, the Roval's not a show like that.
Listen, the two road courses that we complain about are the two tracks that were built for Formula One.
That's right.
You know, so there's your problem right there.
That's right. Indianapolis and COTA. Yep.
So maybe we shouldn't be racing stock cars on tracks built for open wheel vehicles.
That's right. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't disagree.
There you go. We solved the problem.
Or street circuits. Yeah. Oop, I'm sorry. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. I was too soon. Wow. It was too soon. It's too soon. It's too soon.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. A couple months. We get to have that discussion.
Yeah. Sorry. My bad.
We mentioned Daniel Suarez racing around the track and crashing into the back of Alex Bowman on pit road. Right by a NASCAR official. We don't know penalties again because we're recording Tuesday and they're going to announce penalties on Wednesday. First of all, does Daniel Suarez get penalized? And second of all, what should that penalty be, James?
I think he needs to sit.
I think he does too. I think if you're going to sit a driver for something, this is what you should sit him for. But I said they should have sat Ty Gibbs last year for the same thing.
Yep. And if, man, when he hits Bowman, and I retweeted the video, so if you want to go to Twitter, if you follow us, that's, you can quickly see it there, but it was all over the place.
Yeah.
First he hits Ross out of the way, which he's already mad at Ross, and that's everybody was mad at Ross. So, yeah. But then he goes up to Bowman, and I don't know what the speed was that they're going there, Eric, 40 miles an hour, maybe 20, yeah. 30, 40.
I bet you it's faster than it looks.
It is faster than it looks. And he hits Bowman, and Bowman's car gets a little bit squirrely, a little bit, not a lot. You know, thank God.
I saw a little fear in the eyes of that NASCAR official.
Dude, I'm telling you what, if he spins Bowman into that official, we've got a massive, massive problem on our hands. And it's a big time sport. NASCAR has a sport problem.
Yeah. NASCAR needs to draw the line on pit road.
Drop the hammer. Yep. I don't care how long you sit him. If they came back and said he's sitting five, I'm going to be fine with it because I thought that was one of the grossest things I've seen after a race in quite a long time.
Yeah,
it was bad.
When you penalized Bubba Wallace for wrecking Chase Elliott at Vegas last year.
Oh, and Kyle Larson?
Yeah, sorry, yeah. Kyle Larson. You're right, yeah, Kyle Larson. When you parked Bubba for a week for that, this is way worse. I mean, way worse than that.
That's a defenseless person on pit road.
Not only and that, like, James, you know, but Eric, this is a 3.5 mile track. These guys, they shouldn't do this, but they always do. They unbelt as they're going around this track on the cooldown.
Yes,
lap.
And you said, earlier the big point here. You called these cars tanks. We built tanks, and it's great to be in a tank when you're the one behind the wheel of it. But when a tank's coming at you and you've got nothing to protect you, what the hell are you gonna do?
Right.
Like it's just these guys are sometimes was absolutely ridiculous.
They're sometimes taking their helmets off, they're taking their seatbelts off. If you watch a crash test video of a street car, those are usually like 40 miles an hour at the most.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's the speed they were at. You know, that's freaking dangerous.
Dude, go stand next to a highway or a 50 mile an hour road and tell me that car ain't going that fast, even though it looks slow on TV.
Yeah,
man, I was, and I like Daniel Suarez.
I know, me too.
Man, That was bad.
And I know he was upset in that moment, and I'm sure he regrets doing it. But NASCAR needs to make sure every driver knows that this is not accepted at all.
Man up, park your car, man up, take your helmet off, and go have a conversation with the man.
That's
and
the if problem. You guys got to put all these guys want to use their cars as a weapon, and that's it.
Yeah, and if you want to put your hands on somebody and you guys have at it, then boys have at it, right?
Yep.
There's nothing wrong with that. You don't get suspended. But when you're doing that with your car, man, I do. Now, I don't often root for the one race suspension, but I'm rooting for the one race suspension here. He needs to be.
Yeah.
And this needs to be a shot across the bow of all the drivers.
Yep.
Like this crap needs to be done.
Yeah. If NASCAR doesn't park him, they're saying this is okay.
Yep. Don't do this anymore, please.
Yep.
Please, can we stop doing this? We've had close calls in the past, Eric. I can't remember them off the top of my head. But I know this isn't the first time, and by God, it better be the last, is all I can think of.
I've stood on pit road as cars were pulling in off the track, and the last thing I thought of as somebody down there on pit road is that I might have to dodge a car that goes spinning because somebody ran in the back of it.
Yep.
You know, none of those people, they should be. I mean, we all should be head on a swivel when we're down there, but nobody's thinking about that.
No. Nope.
It's just stupid. Just stupid.
Yep, really bad. I don't even know what else to say about it, to be honest with you.
No, I don't think there's anything to say. Kyle Busch gets second place finish in this one. Alex Bowman runs up front as expected. You mentioned Ross Chastain, who went to the back. Manages to get a top five finish out of it, finishing fourth. William Byron, strong all day, finishes fifth.
He was the only one who had anything for Reddick.
And he was.
It was restarts, basically.
Yeah.
Where he was good. And then, of course, on the last one, that team made the worst call late in that race when they put him to the outside on row one of Tyler Reddick.
Yeah.
He was so good on the bottom all day, and that seemed to be the end of the day for old Bill. But
Kyle consistently putting himself on the bottom behind him.
Yes,
that was
the second place.
Yeah, that was the best move he could make. That was the only shot he had at beating Tyler Reddick, which he didn't really have a shot at beating him, but.
No, he didn't. He didn't. But if if Reddick makes a mistake, Reddick wasn't great on restarts.
No.
Even though he drove, and, you know, I said last week I wanted to see that team. I just felt like they were still early in their relationship, right?
Right.
But I tell you what, Eric, that 45 car and that driver is there. That's special. It's going to be special. I think
they're going to be scary.
And you know what else I wanted to point out is that 45 car now within the last year has three wins with three different drivers.
Yeah.
It's a great race car. It's a really strong race team. And now they've got their guy that can deliver for them. It is that win will be one of the more important wins, very similar to what Kyle Busch did with the 8 car, to show up at Auto Club and do what he did and have the start to the season that he's been having. Same thing with Tyler Reddick. I know they had a bumpy road to get to this point, but started to get a little bit more consistent now. And I wouldn't have any doubts if, you know, he's going to be pretty much a threat for the championship towards the end of the season. That team, I mean, when's the last time 2311 did anything on a road course, you know, ever, you know, obviously with Bubba and Kurt, honestly, with his situation last year, he didn't get a chance to really do much. But still, man, Tyler Reddick, there's a reason Denny Hamlin went after that guy the way he did. I think the teardown maybe even talks about this a little bit. But it was such a smart decision to mortgage your future on that talent, because he's one of the guys, man. We've got a couple of guys now we can identify as real legit drivers, Byron, Reddick, you know, we're in good hands with the sport here with these guys.
Well, Denny talked about on his podcast about doing sim work this week with Tyler. And he said he sat in on Tyler's sim sessions, and they've got Keegan Leahy, who ran the iRacing series for 2311 as well. He's in there helping with the sim stuff right now, and going to work for 2311, which is awesome for Keegan. So Denny sat in on these sessions, and he said he looked at the times from, you know, him to Tyler, and he said, man, there's no way he's that much faster. Like, we're going to get the track and it'll even itself out. It's just, you know, a fluke or whatever. And he got to the track and he's like, no, he's that much faster than I am. And same stuff, you know,
yeah,
going out there and whooping on him.
I just wonder why, like, I don't know what it is that some drivers can just break through the way that they do. Yeah. Especially at road course races, you know, like, it really seems to be a differentiator. Like, there's a guy who's just going to hit it for a period of time, and they're just the best. Yeah. I mean, Mark Martin, Jeff Gordon, Tony Stewart, and, you know, all the way through to Chase Elliott, for a long period of time, like, it seems like those guys are just really, like, they just got it. They just have it at the road courses, and Tyler Reddick is of, you know, a cut of that cloth now.
Yeah.
He's going to be tough.
You mentioned Kurt Busch. Kurt gets a little choked up during the race broadcast, calling Reddick to the line. I know he got some criticism from people saying he was being
ridiculous, being
a homer and whatever, being biased. Like, first of all, Kurt is not a member of the Fox team. He's up there, you know, participating in the broadcast for one race. Kurt can be as biased as he wants to be, but come on, man, cut the guy some slack. He just had his career cut short, you know, due to an injury. Let him have some emotion up there.
He did not want to be out of that car.
No.
And he doesn't. And I really look forward to him coming back.
Yeah.
Because he'll come back. I think he'll come back. He'll race a third car for them. I just can only imagine what that's like. You know, you celebrate victory with that team a year ago, and it's cut short in a qualifying crash, and you just never come back. And seeing somebody else have success has got to – I give Kurt a lot of credit because – He's a part of that team. He's stuck with them.
Yep.
He's celebrating in victory lane, but it's got to hurt a little bit too. It's like a happy hurt, but still a hurt nonetheless.
Yeah.
I could leave Kurt alone, man. That I thought that was great to see some raw emotion out of the booth, and it was a cool moment.
And I thought every time Kurt's in the booth, I think he does a terrific job. He's so well spoken. He's so good at analyzing the races. I thought he did a great job. I thought what they were able to work out with Chase Elliott worked out well. Gunther being up there was interesting. I know some people complained that there were too many people in the booth, but I thought it was good. I enjoyed the broadcast. I was happy with the guests we had.
Yeah, Gunther, he did not force his way into the conversation, which I appreciate.
Yeah.
Clint led him into the conversation.
Yep.
When it made sense to maybe balance between NASCAR and F1, and whether or not people believe this, that guy's a celebrity for that Drive to Survive series. But also, a neat nugget. Did you know that he owns the manufacturing company that makes the diffusers under the car?
I did not know that.
I was stunned to find that out. I did not know he had, like, other stuff going on besides being the team principal at Haas.
Right.
I was flabbergasted at that.
That's cool.
It was a cool nugget to find out. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. How come the Haas cars don't run any faster is what I was, right. what I was wondering.
Yeah.
And then Chase Elliott was part of the booth, obviously, too.
Yeah, I thought he did a good job with what they had working out for him.
Yeah, he was, man, I'm telling you, he was as vanilla as you could expect. he didn't get himself in trouble, and he actually brought some good insight.
Yeah,
he had good insight.
I think he had some good things to say, and I think he added the broadcast. I think,
yep.
You know, we criticize Fox a lot on here. I don't think we can criticize them for what they had in the booth this week.
Yep.
Also, one other piece of praise I wanted to throw out there for Fox that I almost forgot about. Whoever thought it was a good idea to put that drone way up in the sky, straight above turn one.
Yep.
Oh my God. That was the greatest shot I've ever seen.
I mean, it got a lot of guys in trouble.
Yeah. I'm curious how many drones they had at this race, because they used the drone a lot. And from what the drone was back when it was tethered at Daytona and it had like a standard definition signal, despite the fact they were using HD cameras, to what it is now, man, it is amazing. Yep. Like they're running shots that I would swear were cable cam shots, but they're mm-hmm. not. It's the drone.
Yeah, we've come a long way from the cable cam day.
It's amazing.
Yeah, that's good amazing. Stuff.
Fox yep. does a great job with their presentation. Sometimes I wish they would just show the race.
Yes.
And not do all the fancy stuff, but there's times. Look, this is a long racetrack. It takes a lot of cameras to run this race. Was it perfect? No. Were there spots that there would have been nice to have cameras and there weren't? Yes. But to be able to still put a broadcast on of this race, I think they did a terrific job this week. So,
yep.
The only other one I wanted to mention, and I debated whether to bring it up on the podcast or not, because I don't want to bring attention for the haters. But Bubba Wallace gets out of the car after his issues and says he needs to be replaced. And I know Bubba doesn't really mean that. The problem that I have with it is, Bubba, don't tell him that. Don't give him any ideas. Dude, you screwed up. It happens. You've done it 2 weeks in a row. Big freaking deal, dude. You're in the Cup Series. I get it. I know Bubba's got a lot of demons, and I feel for him big time. But you're not helping yourself any, bud. Just let it go. Refuse the interview, maybe.
Bubba's Bubba's got to recognize who he is. I don't think he knows who he is yet. And it's hard because Tyler Reddick was so good on the day. You want to be up there and contending.
Yeah, people aren't thinking about them. Nobody's talking about that it was his team car that won and dominated. And here's Bubba who makes a mistake and crashes out of the race. So I get it. I understand.
He's just frustrated, but he just doesn't say the right things sometimes. Well,
Junior said on his podcast too, he's right. You know, Bubba's doing there is he's trying to get on the mic and say, listen, I know I didn't do good enough. I want you guys to recognize the fact that I know that I didn't do something right. But he goes too far, and it's not a good look for you, Bubba. Don't do that stuff. It either makes it look like you want people to feel sorry for you. It makes you seem like a sore loser. We get it. I know what he's dealing with, and I've seen the emotion when he's down on himself firsthand, standing next to him. But you gotta move on from that and just be you, man. Be you. Yep,
that's right.
Big Bubba fans here. Just don't do that to us.
Yes. Yeah. there's another driver I wanted to shout on the positive end in this race. Well, Corey LaJoie again.
Yeah.
I want to throw him out there real quick. He just misses the top 10, but my God. And then Todd freaking Gilliland.
Yeah. Thank you. Yes. Good one.
Yes. He's putting a nice little season together on a year where his own team doesn't want him anymore.
Yeah.
So that's, he's outperforming some pretty good drivers too. Good drivers, but drivers in his class, I should say.
Right.
I mean, you know, that he's kind of affiliated with.
He beat Kyle Larson and Kevin Harvick and Denny Hamlin, Martin Truex Jr. I mean,
and he's beaten Harrison Burton on a pretty consistent basis.
Yeah.
You know, they came in together. So, I mean, that's, you know, but yeah, that's a good run for him. He had a good day. Ty Gibbs had another good day, but yeah, top 10, I mean, a lot of the guys you would expect, but yeah, some you don't too.
Is it worth mentioning the ringers a little bit? Because we haven't really talked.
Yeah,
about
I think we
them.
Should. Yeah, I think we should real quick before we get out of the Cup Series race, because I had some, praise and some questions to be. Well, one of the ringers didn't even make it a lap, and that was the goat.
Poor Jimmy.
Poor Jimmy.
Not even his fault. Yeah, nothing to do with him, and just got wrecked.
All he wanted to do was make some laps at Coda, and he didn't even get to complete one. What a bummer.
Yep. Yeah. Which one was the one that was talking about that he almost quit during the race?
Because it was Jenson Button.
Yeah. I mean,
he had a good day too. 18th position at the end. So, he had a lot of good things to say. Like I saw, like hearing his in-car audio after the race, like he was fired up.
Yeah.
And, sounded like he really enjoyed his experience. I think he had a chance to calm down and, that day was hard on his body.
Yeah.
I don't think he was ready for the heat. It was a hot day at Coda from everything I heard too. But he heaped a lot of praise on NASCAR drivers and how they are just on it all day. And he's not used to that.
Right.
He did say the wreck fest wasn't very much fun. but it was cool to see. I mean, he's been at the top of F1. He's a world champion. So he's got a nice little pedigree there. But he also hasn't driven in a few years. So to come out of there with an 18th place finish, I thought that was an awesome day for him in that Rick Ware car.
How about Jordan Taylor qualifies fourth?
Yeah, he had speed.
Yeah, as long as nobody was around him.
Yeah, that's the hard part. But, I mean, that's what I sent you a message on Facebook.
Yeah, I know.
Because there was a part of me, I know Jordan Taylor's not going to win this week. But when Steve LaTarte said it on mic, I was like, okay, well, part of me wants Jordan Taylor to win this race. There was no way he was going to win. But, I mean, he's fast, Eric. That's pretty cool to see. Like, you know, I don't know. He's not going to get reps in the 9 car anymore. I'm curious to see what he could do if he really put the time in, to get used to what stock car racing is. He's a heck of a driver. I was impressed by his qualifying effort.
One thing worth noting, and I believe it's Jordan Taylor. Jordan Taylor is the one that's been helping test the Garage 51
car.
That's right.
He's part of that. Yeah, he's part of Garage 56.
Or 56. He has technically run this car on this track.
Well, he's, Yeah, he's but run the monster.
Yeah, it's the yeah. car's got a lot more downforce and it's a lot better handling car than what these ones are too. So
and so does Jimmy Johnson for that matter.
That's true. That's true. And yeah, yeah. Where'd that get him? Kimi Raikkonen did it well as well. Finished 29th, but was running good at points in this race as well.
He's aggressive as hell.
Yeah,
that's
he fits in. Yeah, he fits into the Cup Series just fine.
You know who he reminds me of? Juan Pablo.
Yeah.
Like when you put fenders on this thing, look out, man. Yep. I'm coming in. I'm fast and I'm gonna give it to you pretty good. So yeah. I like when Kimi's out there. I'm looking forward to seeing him race more.
It's a big learning curve for these guys and cool to see him running. I mean, it's
yeah.
The day of the road course ringer coming out and potentially, you know, finishing top five in one of these races. It's a lot tougher now, especially
it's hard, man.
Especially the way these guys are driving. Maybe they might pull it off in the Xfinity Series or the Truck Series, but you're not gonna see it in the Cup Series.
I love seeing the F1 guys coming over here, though, and yeah. it makes me hopeful. I would love to see somebody a little bit. Not that these guys aren't relevant; like they are world champions.
Right, I know what you mean.
But I would like a Daniel Ricciardo, for example. Like he says he's not going to do it, but man, he's popular, and I would just love to see him peek over here.
We'll see somebody come over here when they're winning over there.
Yeah. Or when they are. Yeah, exactly. Or maybe just out of the car, like Danny Rick, or like, you know, I'll see on Twitter from time to time that Max Verstappen, just for whatever reason, he loves running NASCAR trucks on iRacing.
Yeah.
It's just like, come on, man, come over here. Come on one time, come on over here. But he's a handful.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, I just love that we have a little bit of that crossover. There's interest there. There's something there that we can tap into. I don't know how.
Right.
you know what I mean? Like, it's a good thing to have these guys coming over, and I really wish we could have crossover the other way. I just know it's not possible. You know.
Yeah.
We can't really do it the other way around. It's you can't get Kyle Busch in an F1 car for a real race. It's too steep of a learning curve, and there's no seats. So.
Yeah.
But over here, you can definitely compete.
Yep. Yep, agreed. We had a doubleheader on Saturday, NASCAR Xfinity Series, NASCAR Truck Series competing. We'll do just a quick run through on these ones. We'll start with the second one first. AJ Allmendinger comes out and gets himself a win in the Xfinity Series. Basically out-dueled, I mean, everybody, really. William Byron, Ty Gibbs, Sammy Smith at the end. All three of those guys were right up there running with Sammy Smith, man. This kid, you're... We're looking at another one of those future stars going through JGR right now with that kid.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. He's got some freaking talent, and it's impressive to see.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, AJ does Xfinity things in the Xfinity Series on a road course.
Yeah, he's the best ever. Yeah.
Kicks their butt, man.
Yep. Sheldon Creed was really good.
Yeah,
too,
Creed was really good. That's right.
He had some help getting off the track.
Yeah, a little bit.
It's at one point,
yeah.
But had a good day. You know, another guy in the Xfinity Series I want to point out is Riley Herbst again. Goes out there, he gets a top 10. He has not lost to his teammate yet. So I'm going to keep an eye on this to see if he can beat Cole Custer every single race this season.
Yeah, there you go.
Yep.
Truck Series, Zane Smith gets the win. Kyle Busch overruled his crew chief, potentially costing himself a win in this one.
Yeah, he did.
Decided not to pit, and then the caution comes out and screws him over on strategy. But I guess if you're the owner and the driver... you get to make those calls.
Yep.
And
so his quest for 5 for 5 is already over.
Yep.
Sorry, Kyle.
Already over.
But this race had a lot of drivers in it. Like Ross ran this race.
Yeah.
It
was Kyle and Ross was the show.
Yes.
Zane Smith just did what Zane Smith does and just hung in there and then got the strategy right at the end. And
Alex Bowman missed this race. So that just kind of goes to tell you how stacked the field was. Right. And he was
battling for the win last year in this race.
Yeah. Yeah. He missed it. And then we didn't even mention Byron in the Xfinity Series. I mean, we had a lot of ringers.
Right. Yeah.
But Zane Smith tried to burn the place down after after his win, which I think was probably the biggest highlight of the race.
Yeah,
was the truck caught on fire after doing some burnouts. So
take the stupid mud flaps off these things.
Oh my god! Well, we know that rubber when it builds up and gets hot. We've seen in the Cup Series what happens. So
yeah,
it only makes sense that it would happen in the Truck Series too.
The mud flaps are dumb. Get rid of them. Are they really doing anything? I don't think they're doing anything.
If there's no rain,
yeah,
don't
especially
need to have that stuff on these cars.
It's not in the forecast. Let's take them off.
Yeah. Windshield wipers too, like get that crap off there.
Yep, agreed.
Yep.
There you go. Circuit of the Americas in the rearview mirror for another year. There's really like no news this week, at least at this point. We're going to get a bunch of it tomorrow with penalties likely. You said, I believe we're going to hear results of the appeals tomorrow as
well. Hendrick appeal is heard tomorrow, and then expect the Daniel Suarez news to come out tomorrow.
I assume then Denny appeal probably tomorrow too.
I didn't see the Denny appeal on the list. He might be a couple days later than these guys, so we'll see.
Yeah, I guess he's not. There's no crew chief or anything sitting at this point. How in the hell does it take 2 weeks to have an appeal process go through when you're sitting crew chiefs, James? I don't get this.
Because NASCAR?
Is that the right answer? I don't understand. Like, what are these guys doing during the week that they can't freaking get together and do an appeal?
Right, I don't know. It should be better. And Hendrick's doing the right thing and sitting their crew chiefs just in case.
Yeah.
But
I mean, if they win the appeal and they get their crew chiefs back, well, now they have to sit at the crew chiefs for 2 weeks.
Exactly, yep.
That's stupid.
It's dumb. It really is dumb. There should be an expedited appeals process somehow. Yeah. It should be done.
I mean, first of all, we're waiting as it is till freaking Wednesday now. It used to be Tuesdays, and then we stopped doing Tuesdays because it was too long. We started issuing penalties at the track. Well, now we're back to Tuesdays again. By the way, now we're doing it Wednesday.
Well, I don't think we're the only ones confused by it, because I saw Bob tweet that it's coming out. He expects it today, and then I saw him tweet again later. He said, well, no, it's going to be pushed back, and it's not unprecedented, but my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, yeah, so we're coming out a day early, but at least we know the news is coming this time. Usually we get nailed
right.
by the news.
Yeah, so. Exactly. The only new real news item then, James added to the list, Joey Logano is going to drive for Thor Sport at the Bristol Dirt Race. Cool.
There you go. Yeah. I mean, that's all I could find.
Yeah.
I did see, here's a fun one. Paul Newman, actor, and he was a race car driver, right? They found his Daytona Rolexes from the 24s in a random desk. So they just found him in a desk and they're going to auction him off, and they expect him to make a ton of money. So there's a NASCAR related kind of fun item. But Paul Newman, probably one of the more famous race car drivers ever, even though he was more known for acting, but kind of a cool little nugget I just saw. Other than that, Eric, we are scraping the bottom of the news barrel today.
Yes, we are. With that, we go to our favorite track, Richmond Raceway, this weekend.
Oh, my God.
Can't wait for some good old-fashioned Richmond racing. Well, let's hope the aero package has fixed it.
If they didn't put Sealer down, I don't want to hear about it.
Yeah, I know. I'm sure they didn't. I don't know. Let's try this one without stage breaks and see what happens and see if we get some strategy racing. Strategy was interesting last year. That's the only thing that made this race interesting. So.
Yep.
With that, we get to make our picks again. James, I am going to jinx another driver this week, because I jinxed AJ Allmendinger last week and only got 11 points out of it. Your Austin Cindric pick got 40.
Which is freaking
ridiculous. So I'm way behind you, 85 points behind right now. I got to make up some ground.
This is how every year starts, man.
Don't worry. I know. So I'm going to take another freaking swing, though. I'm going to go with the guy that's kind of the king of this place. I'm going to go with Denny Hamlin as my pick.
Oh, wow. All right. Curse and Hambone right away.
Yep. Might as well get it done. Piss him off so he can talk about me on his podcast.
Well, I was going to save. I was going to save him. But, man. So I was going back and forth between two guys.
Okay.
I really thought maybe this could be a nice spot to use Kevin Harvick. He was really
Harvick.
Good. Yeah, and I can't. So that left me with my other pick. And you've already used him, Kyle Larson.
All right, there you go. Just for the record, I did think about taking Harvick here, but I'm saving Harvick for Michigan. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, you're just gonna do it.
Pencil me in, Michigan, Kevin Harvick.
Unless you get the points lead first.
Well, it don't matter, because you can't pick him anyway. So
that's right. I've already burned him up.
Yeah, he's mine. He's mine. So
yep. He is all yours. Might as well just write him in down there and be done with it.
Yeah. I had a great fantasy lineup for this race until half or three quarters of it wrecked.
Oh, I was feeling really good about myself. And then Ross and AJ got together just like they did last year and killed me at the end.
Yeah, they both hurt me too. So
they find each other. But luckily, I think everybody had probably those two guys on their roster.
I don't know. It didn't help me because I'm way in the back.
Yep. The winner this week, hold on just a second, I had to click the right button here, was Tandem Draftona with 2:28. Team Justin was second, and third was Fast to the Grass. I came in fifth, and Eric, you were...
Lucky number 13.
Lucky number 13. Nice, nice. With that, overall standings, Baron Speedway still way up. He's in the lead. Miska Muska Mickey Elliott second. I laugh every time. And then three-time champ is third. But yeah, Baron Speedway, I finally beat him this week, but it was by a whopping 1 point.
There you go.
So that puts me, I am rounding out the top 10. And Eric, you're still up there, though.
Yeah, I'm still five spots ahead of you.
Yeah, you're fifth in points. Yeah. A little closer back here with us. Yeah. But yeah, I'm trying to still climb out of the hole that I got myself in at the beginning of the season. But Baron, man, he's on fire.
Yeah,
he's
he is. Good.
So,
yep. Good to see. Holding a nice lead, that's for sure.
Yep.
Got any shout-outs this week, James?
Well, I was going to shout out Gunther just because I texted our buddy Todd and said, hey, say if you get it, you know, say hi to him for me, right? And get a picture or whatever. And he said I had to look up who he was, so I didn't feel so special. But I don't know. I just thought that was kind of cool. He's one of my favorite characters on Drive to Survive. He's kind of a goofball. So that was my quick shout. I just thought that was a good one.
I gave mine earlier, but I'll throw another one out here. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. was on Dale Jr. Download last week. Great interview. Did you get a chance to listen to it, James?
Yeah. Well, I heard the stuff on Roush and okay. I was just very interested, and he's got a good relationship with those guys now, from what I understand. But
Ricky's not interesting. So much then. I will say that I've had a chance to talk to Ricky a few times. Ricky's always very gracious, always willing to answer questions and talk. Always smiling. We watched somebody shared a video, a couple weeks ago. And he's mingling with all the fans and stuff as he comes through the red carpet. He's a good dude. You know, I think Ricky sometimes doesn't get the credit that he deserves. Obviously Daytona 500 winner now, but, good guy for the sport, man. Good guy for racing in general. So,
you know, I know he won the Daytona 500, and it's hard to say like, hey, watch out, he's flying under the radar. But sneaky good start to his season outside of just that win. His average finish is up almost 10 spots from a year ago at this point. So he is
seventh place at Coda.
Yep. He's got two top tens and obviously he's got the Daytona 500 win, but yeah, he's sneaky having a really nice season so far.
And he lives at Ernie Irvin's old place. So,
oh, I didn't know. Yeah. I didn't hear that. That's cool.
Yeah. There's a pond there and there's rumors that Ernie put some cars in that pond. And Dale Jr. and Mike Davis volunteered to come over and do some magnet fishing. So, well,
they got to get Ernie back on the pod then.
Right?
Now that's so
that's
Ernie.
They asked Ricky if it was okay for them to come magnet fishing if they could keep what they found. And Ricky said, you know, I probably should just call Ernie and ask him if he actually put anything in that pond.
Well, Ernie, so funny sidebar, Ernie had a house catch on fire, but I don't think it was his North Carolina house.
No, it was this house.
It was
this property, I believe, from the podcast. So yep.
He lost his Daytona 500 trophy in that fire, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and then I think last year, didn't they present him with a bunch of the replicas of the trophies?
Yep, I think they got all of his stuff back. That's so sad.
Yeah,
man.
I know.
Did that guy hit the bad luck, like every branch on the bad luck tree all the way down?
Yeah, but he's still happy and going, so.
He is happy and going. That's right.
I mean, the guy had barely a chance to live, and he's still around.
He's
so.
Alive. Yep. That is a damn true statement if I've ever heard one. Yep.
Yep. So, I mean, the track tried to get him twice, and still he's still kicking, so good for him.
Yeah, he ain't going anywhere. Yep.
Black flags. Any black flags this weekend, James?
No, Dave Moody. You know, there's a difference between contact and hard racing and then what we saw at the end of that race last week. You can't carry the flag for NASCAR every single week, Dave.
Yeah. Well, he tries. He tries.
God dang it, dude. I don't know. I was frustrated when I saw that tweet. So that's my black flag.
I already mentioned mine, but I'm going to throw that black flag back at Daniel Suarez. We talked about it.
Yep.
Got to sit, man. Got to sit a week. I hope NASCAR pulls the trigger. That's all I got to say.
Yep. I am too.
James, where can people find you on social media if they want to hit you up during the week?
At James Cush on Twitter.
You can find me at T Super Speedway on Twitter. You can find the podcast on Facebook at facebook.com/thesuperspeedway. Our website is thesuperspeedway.com. You can find the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and Anchor. Subscribe for new episodes each week. And if you go to anchor.fm/thesuperspeedway and leave us an audio message, we will play it. We may play it on the show. Call us
up. Depends on what you say.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to be fair, probably the worst things you say, that there's probably a better chance of getting on the pod. We will exercise the bleep button if we need to. But yes, come on, talk some smack. Come on, guys. We got all kinds of fantasy racers. Come talk some smack. Baron, get on the horn. Yeah. Talk some smack at us as you dominate the fantasy league. Give us a shout. We'll possibly play it on the air. And yeah, we hope you guys, wherever you find us today, you subscribe and continue to listen. We'll be back next week, probably reluctantly, to break down the races at Richmond Raceway. We're hoping for good races, but not real optimistic, right, James?
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. It's a short track. We gotta enjoy that, right?
Right.
I guess.
Yep.
Yeah. Back next week to break it all down. Preview the spectacular Easter weekend spectacular that will be the Bristol Night Race, as well, coming up next week. So, yeah, until then, everybody, let's go racing.